Welcome to the Future of Medicine podcast, where we believe that feeling great and living a long time is possible and that your healthcare should help you get there. I'm your host, Dr. Aaron Wenzel. My hope is simple, that this show will help you along your journey to becoming the healthiest, strongest, and most powerful version of you possible. Now, let's jump into the show. Hey everybody, this episode, Jen and I are going to dive into a topic we introduced a few years ago around parenting oneself. I think this is a really, really underappreciated concept. We're excited to give it to you and we hope it's useful. Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of the Future of Medicine podcast. I am your host, Dr. Aaron Wenzel, joined as always by the lovely and talented Jennifer Justice.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm amazing. How are you?
I'm doing great.
This episode is called How to Parent Yourself and Why It's Important. We've touched on this topic before in the past. It was kind of a novel idea that was given to us by our friend and amazingly talented therapist, Dr. Brian Hooper, this concept of parenting oneself. And I thought it would be useful to circle back around on this, just to bring it to the top of people's attention. I think it's both a new idea and underestimated idea. And I think it really bears exploring. I think to start, in the first section here, I just want to review what it is. And the whole premise is that as a young person, we are born with no skills to navigate life. We are given parents. Some of us have access to parents. Some of us don't have access to parents. Some of us with parents have great parents, and some have suboptimal parenting experiences. And that's not new. The idea that's new is that these experiences of how we are parented, how well we are parented, we take those and internalize them and they become our own, or the lack of them become our own. And we take that into our adulthood and we navigate life and the hard things in life using these parenting skills that we adopted or didn't adopt. And we succeed or don't succeed at navigating these things. And there are certain predictable patterns that we see in people who were parented well or not parented well. And these four phases or pillars of parenting oneself, according to Dr. Hooper, are to encourage. The first step is in all parenting is you encourage the young person to go do something, explore, try, go do. But we know that encouraging to go out into the world, there will be injury. There will be dangers. The second pillar of parenting is then to rescue. It's to come in and save the day, either to pull you out of a situation or to guide you around a situation so that we minimize the trauma. Rescuing from trauma requires the third phase, which is comforting. You know, some gently soothing the pain experienced by the realization that something was hurtful. And, you know, we either learn to comfort or not to comfort. And then the last phase of parenting after comforting is gently correct and celebrate either the win or, hey, that really hurt. And that was not great, but here's what you did well. And so it's almost a complementary two sides of a coin, this last one. And then that leads to further encouragement. And so it's a cycle. So that's the general idea as a refresher. When I say parenting oneself or this topic comes up, where does Jennifer's brain go? Both Jennifer the human and Jennifer the clinician. Do you have a, where do you go?
We touched on it earlier, which is kind of looking for these patterns of behavior. And to me, when I think of somebody that's been parented well, I think of somebody that is like solution focused. When hard things are given to them, they're able to kind of work through them with some emotional intelligence. They give themselves grace, you know, like they're not too hard on themselves, but they also can recognize maybe their blind spots and where they need to work on some things, but in a healthier way, if that makes sense. They're able to really like reframe negative thoughts in a healthy way, kind of looking at things from a really different perspective that lends itself to more growth rather than beating themselves up, I guess is the way I would say it. They have really healthy relationship with other people. Mm-hmm. You know, they surround themselves with people that feed them rather than take from them. They set really great boundaries for themselves mm-hmm. and others. And they really have learned to really meet their own emotional needs.
Yeah.
And what it boils down to for me is that they treat themselves like they would treat a young child. And they operate within this area of the four areas that you've just mentioned. To me, that's, you know, and when we, the clinician side of me, when we have new members that come into our world, you know, you and I sit there and sometimes we'll even say like, man, they were not parented well.
Yeah.
Or on the flip side, wow, you know, they were really parented mm-hmm. well. And I think when we either notice that they weren't or notice that they were, we're kind of comparing them to those four areas, if that makes sense.
Yeah, to me, it's kind of like two ends of the spectrum. Like we have people where we notice behaviors that would indicate they're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
It's the stuckness,
yeah.
This inability to navigate life's challenges
mm-hmm.
where, and then there's some chronicity, so there's some pattern to where they tend to always get stuck.
Yeah.
Versus being able to navigate and extract the lessons, move along, self-soothe, continue to encourage themselves. Like it's really, really, really fascinating to me. This idea, and this is now 4 years or so that I've been pondering this and mm-hmm. kind of observing and trying to apply it in a meaningful way to our members. In the next section, what I think would be useful is to take what some common experiences can be in those, because this might be the first time someone's hearing this. And as someone is listening to this and maybe reflecting on their own life, like, I wonder if there's an area in, you know, either encouragement or rescuing or comforting or gentle correction and celebration. Is there an area of my life where I was suboptimally parented and I'm experiencing that as an adult while I'm parenting myself? And is it possible that maybe even if I have young children, I also had that void in my parenting ability that I didn't give that to my parent, my children? Is there an opportunity here to really explore this? So Jen, if someone had a lack of optimal encouragement as a young person, what are some ways that we see that in a manifest as a successful adult? By the way, we only take care of people who are high achieving, successful, wonderfully smart, mm-hmm. brilliant people. But these are areas where we see, in spite of all the success and despite of all of the intelligence, on the emotional side of things, this is what we see. Where do we see someone who had suboptimal encouragement?
I think if somebody was not optimally encouraged, you might see or notice their inability to go out into the world and try new things. So mm-hmm. maybe they're a little timid in the risk-taking category. You know, they don't really explore new opportunities or really consider new perspectives. Maybe in said another way, their worldview is pretty narrow. You know, they just, I grew up in a really small town in Ohio mm-hmm. and there were a lot of, you know, rural farms around. And so a lot of the kids in my class would either take over the family farm or they would build homes on the family land. That was not uncommon. Mm-hmm. You know, they just didn't have the ability to want to go out and explore other areas.
New things are scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they stayed in that, like, that comfort zone of what they knew, which is not a bad thing. It's just, mm-hmm. they just didn't have that notion to do that.
Yeah. We see it with new ideals, mm-hmm. you know, new belief systems, you know, they're, this type of experience might lead someone to a tendency to, I'm done learning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done learning new things.
Yeah.
And I'm comfortable right here. I understand this and I'm staying with this all the way to the end. And that can be problematic, mm-hmm. obviously, as the world and reality is actively changing. That can be a really scary place to be for mm-hmm. someone who doesn't know how to optimally encourage themselves.
Yeah.
What about a lack of rescue?
So this one, maybe they have the inability to recognize when we put ourselves in dangerous situations. So some examples of those could be physical, emotional, or maybe even professional places of danger.
Yeah, I see this. If you've never been rescued, it could be unclear what the purpose of rescuing is. And you just notice that you're, by the time you're aware of a problem, it's already like a full-fledged problem.
Mm-hmm.
Where it could be something as subtle as, hey, John, you're paid to work 10 hours and you get one-hour break. That doesn't mean you can be 30 minutes long on your break. It doesn't mean that, like, 8 a.m. start time is not a suggestion like that. They just put themselves, their radar doesn't go off.
Mm-hmm.
That they've wandered outside of kind of the safe place to be where you will thrive. Like, so as a kind of a trivial professional example,
mm-hmm.
obviously, if you don't know how to recognize dangerous situations physically, we do see people who are very, very intelligent who perpetually put themselves in very compromised situations for their physical safety. Like, hey, the time, the location, the place, the situation, there were a lot of signs here that this was not safe, that, like, I'm concerned that the radar never went off, that, mm-hmm. that was like, because the radar is going off all over in mine, because I understand the value of being rescued.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of being rescued and the implications of needing to be rescued, but then not ever rescued. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
The third area, what about optimal comforting? Like, someone who was not optimally comforted as a young person.
So this comes down to really how they regulate their emotions,
mm-hmm.
And having that skill of self-soothing. And oftentimes if they lack this, it can lead to chronic anxiety, overwhelm, panic attacks, and at the extreme, like, they just melt down. You know, they just have no ability to really just self-soothe. I personally, you know, my parents got divorced when I was very young. I think I was in the second grade, and my mode of self-soothing was food. And so to this day, I have to really recognize when I get stressed out.
Interesting.
And I head to the pantry. I stop myself and I say, what is going on? You know, mm-hmm. why am I reaching for food right now? Is it because I'm stressed? Am I anxious? Am I overwhelmed? You know, kind of all of those little feelings that drive me to food being my main comfort. Sometimes for people it's alcohol. Sometimes yep. for people it's drugs. But you know, a lot of times it's these external things, porn, you know, that people
mm-hmm.
turn to self-soothe, because they just never learn to do that.
I appreciate you bringing that up, because I do see a clear connection between addictive behavior
mm-hmm.
and someone who is giving their best attempt at soothing some pain.
Yeah.
And it's often a piss, like, their behavior is a piss poor substitute for what they really need comforted from.
Mm-hmm.
And it can end up being destructive long term. So it offers this short term, superficial numbing,
mm-hmm.
but it actually doesn't heal the pain, and it certainly doesn't help you move away from the pain.
Right.
And oftentimes, if you trace that back, it's they never really were comforted and then modeled the importance and the value of comforting.
Yeah.
And they, by extension, can often be people who have a hard time comforting others.
Mm-hmm.
And recognizing the situation where they need to deploy some comfort mm-hmm. to someone.
Yeah. One of my dear friends, he has he taught me the three R's. Hmm. And this is like, I guess, through sports analogy or something, but it's recognize, release, and refocus. Hmm. So it's like recognizing the behavior, releasing it, and then refocus on something else. And I like that because it's simple. You know, it's something that I can really kind of, it's a mantra in the back of my head, like that I can use a lot.
No, that's excellent. So the last pillar of parenting is optimal correction and celebration. Where do we see adult experiences in people who haven't?
This one's really interesting. So this one can lead to the inability to reflect on your past experiences and learn the lessons from those.
Mm-hmm.
Good and bad, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because not all experiences are bad, but it can lead to making mistakes over and over and over again. So they kind of get stuck in this pattern of not really recognizing where something might be serving them, and they just keep doing it. The lack of celebration then can also often lead to a tendency for perfectionism.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you know, I would give two examples of the in optimal correction. This idea of inability to extract the lesson life is teaching us in that moment or shortly after that moment can lead to either perpetually stuck in a pattern where you choose the same thing over and over. Mm-hmm. I perpetually pick bad relationships, mm-hmm. or I perpetually get in bad business deals, or I perpetually, you know, make these mistakes in my finances.
Mm-hmm.
I also see it where you have very inconsistent results, where sometimes there's big wins and then lots of intermediate and then lots of like not successful things. And when you reflect in on that, if you ask someone, hey, has this ever worked for you before? Have you ever done anything that worked? Yeah, well, I did this thing one time and it worked gangbusters, but then I stopped doing it. Like, it works both ways, mm-hmm. where you have the inability to see the pattern that is not working, but you also have the inability to see the thing that does work,
yeah.
and then continue to do that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the back half of this last section, I don't know about you, but personally, I see this a lot in mm-hmm. our members mm-hmm. where regardless of the outcome, whether it was super great and you missed it, or it was like it's inconsistent or it's awful, there's almost like this, for many, the inability to say, I'm always struggling at this, but here's what I did well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the old find the silver lining.
Yeah.
There's something about people who navigate life on a consistent basis, unstuck and generally at peace and generally comprehensively happy people who, like, I've never seen a successful person at scale, completely successful, who's not optimistic.
Yeah.
Right? A non-optimist, unlikely to have a very comprehensively thriving experience,
mm-hmm.
professionally, financially, interpersonally, spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
There is an element of facing the bitter truth, being honest with it, extract the lesson. But what did we do right?
Mm-hmm.
Because without that, it can lead to this, I don't know how to do anything right. Or unless I can do it perfect, I won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this perfectionism environment can really yeah. be fostered, which can be very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
In this last section, just kind of bringing it all together, I think I think this is a really, really great subject. I think a core tenet of fulfillment in the human experience is growth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, humans need to have a sense that they are growing and advancing as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And when we notice that progress, we have that high probability of feeling a general sense of fulfillment. It's where we're stuck or not growing or going backwards, where we start to get a little disoriented. And so what happens, though, is that growth, which is required for fulfillment, requires us to be at our edge.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be at the edge of our faith, at the edge of our capacity, our capability, at the edge of our experience in order to advance that further. And if you haven't been parented well, it can be very scary to put your toe across the line
mm-hmm.
of where you feel comfortable to expand and grow, because you've learned, like, well, nobody comforts me. You know, it's, I don't feel encouraged to do it. I don't feel supported. And we stay where we are.
Yeah.
I would hope for anyone listening to this, where this is potentially resonating, that you would adopt a spirit of curiosity and not of judgment,
mm-hmm.
but of curiosity about, could there be an opportunity for me to explore one of these four areas in a deeper way to really get some breakthrough and some healing,
mm-hmm.
so that I can continue to grow and be unlocked there. I think it comes down to finding your team, as we talk about a lot. You know, maybe that's your physician, maybe it's your pastor, maybe it's a therapist. Find someone to help you circle around these things and really begin to fill where you have not been given.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we only have what we're given to give. And so if you don't have it, you probably weren't given it.
Yeah.
But you can be the person to break that cycle,
mm-hmm.
so that your children can learn how to comfort or learn how to encourage, or your grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this is encouraging. I hope it's both interesting and encouraging. I know for me, it has served me, and I continue to refine these areas in my own life and audit and look for areas where I'm sensing I'm a little deficient.
Yeah.
What about you? How would you close some of these thoughts?
You know, when we first started discussing this topic, my brain kind of goes easily to, you know, because we're talking about parenting, which leads back to your parents. Mm-hmm. And it's like, gosh, you know, in some of these areas, they did a really bad job. but because I was parented well, I feel, you know, then my brain goes to, well, you know what? They did the best they could with what they had at the time. And, you know, Tony Robbins has a saying, you know, you can blame your parents for the bad, but you have to also blame them for the good.
You don't get to blame them just for the bad.
Yeah. You
have got to give them credit for what they did right.
That's right.
To do the bad.
And so, you know, I've been given this amazing life, and I'm, you know, very grateful for everything that I have, and noticing, you know, even going through this podcast in the areas where the lack of optimal area, you know, optimal encouragement, rescue, comfort, correction, I'm reflecting on my own self, like, gosh, where, okay, that one, check off the list. I think I'm doing really well, mm-hmm. there, but, ooh, you know, comfort and correction, I could probably do better there, you know, mm-hmm. But it comes from a place of empathy. And yeah. I think that's really healthy,
yeah.
that, you know, don't stay stuck in a place where you don't feel like you can grow and change, because you have the ability and the power to do that for yourself. And it might be scary, and it might be difficult, and it, you know, you might have to go through the mud with it, but it's worth it when you get on the other side. And I would echo your advice to find your team. That's huge. You know, we end our podcast a lot with that, but it's so important that you find somebody that you trust, that you can talk to. And I would not discredit or discount a really great therapist to help you through that, because they're totally so agree. Skilled in just helping you navigate those emotions that you're having difficulty maybe dealing with.
So good.
Yeah. Love it.
Well, I think it's a good place to press pause for now.
Yeah.
It's a great discussion. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.
I want to thank you so much for your attention. Listen, I don't take it for granted. It means the absolute world to me. You can find out more about today's episode at brentwoodmd.com/podcast. There you'll find the show notes, all the related links to this episode, and tons of other resources. If you haven't already subscribed, please do so. And if you've already subscribed, then it would mean so much to me if you left a review. If you think we'd be a good fit to work together, or you would just simply like to know more about the concierge services that I provide my private clients, email us at membership@brentwoodmd.com. And now for the obligatory disclaimer. This podcast is for general information only and does not constitute the practice of medicine or the giving of medical advice, as no doctor-patient relationship has been formed. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should seek the advice of their own medical professional providers.